I was over 200 miles away from my duties as newly appointed General of Fenalia. Any other Mondrian being in that situation would have gladly taken up the mantle with pride, happily serving their nation and constructing the perfect armies to staunchly march into that battlefield of final say, a final charge, making king and country proud. If we were to step onto that battlefield now, this very moment, our people might return slathered in bloody victory. But this was to be no normal battle. No normal victory would be handed to anyone. We fight over fuel to power our fading civilization. But how much longer will that delay the inevitable defeat of us all? There's something darker festering deep within the walls of our planet. And I've chosen to uncover it. Just over a day ago, the king himself revealed to me that venomous apparition. Our former general came to him and delivered news that demolished any hopes of a normal victory. The dreamer cometh. He will end war. He will end. If we were to step into that battle with what we know now, every man, woman, and child would be handed an atrocious defeat, most certain. However, if we step into that field with the most powerful tool of all, the purified, rarefied, uncovered, resurrected dream, then victory belongs to no one man. Fenalia, Stalon, and every land between, we all would win. It pains me to think that the king may have no choice but to rescind my election as general soon. I'm close to finding safe passage to the Tomb of Ancient Dream, my liege. I can only hope that you find the compassion to hold on just a short while longer.
Dreams drift in and out of our conscious realms, dancing, blending, fusing themselves to memory until we can no longer ascertain what is real from fabrication. Celestial doors may open to reveal sights of awe, but forebode a dreadful fate for our planet on the brink. This is Mondrea Memories, the Dreamer's Echo podcast. Stay tuned after the memory to hear a special message from the creator of our show, as well as a bonus scene. This memory features mature themes not suitable for younger ears. Listener discretion is advised. Memory 5. Violetta Vultura, Queen of the Northern Sky.
Binary Star, the grungy cyberpunk comic saga returns with Volume 2 on Kickstarter. This gothic space opera follows hot-tempered axe-wielding Zaki as she tracks down Spooky, an enigmatic alien on the run. To recapture her elusive bounty, she'll need the frenemies she's found along the way. Talking dog people hell-bent on revenge, galactic club-hopping mercs, and sharp-tongued otherworldly beings. A violent, glittery star-crossed quest. Unravel the mystery behind the shadowy organizations who need her target for their own malicious cause. Support the printing of both beautifully hand-drawn volumes August 11th and make this cosmic opus a reality. Early bird rewards will go fast, so capture this killer Kickstarter comic. Binary Star, Volume 2, Cold to the Touch. And the second edition hardcover, Volume 1, The Big Cosmic Joke. Starting August 11th on Kickstarter.com. Binary Star, Hunter Becomes Hunted in the Lawless Cosmos. It would have taken us several hours to dry off in this sunless, airless cavern, except it was bright, warm. It had atmosphere unakin to a cave hundreds of feet below sea level. It was like a calm midsummer day. peaceful. The walls were a bright, matted white, clean and unmarked. The whole place seemed to light itself, ventilate, and provide for itself. Several passersby greeted us as they worked and walked through their usual day, most of which I presumed were hunters or pirates moving to and from home base and piracy abroad. To think all these people can coexist down here in harmonious discretion, a stark contrast to the Fenalian bustle I was used to. A lot of them were dressed perhaps a bit too casual, nearly stripped down to sunbathing or beachwear, which left me to assume much of their work was as wet as we were. Or perhaps they're better prepared to take the dive down to this hidden oasis beneath the northern mountain. Ms. Renault led us to a clothier she knew prior, provided us with new garments to fit in with the locals, and sent our old, soiled clothing away to be steamed and pressed.
I see it helps to have connections down here.
You don't know the half of it. You glad to be out of that old coat?
Keep it.
I passed a silver coin over the counter to the cleaner as he hauled away the slimy, wet cloak. He didn't say a word, accepted the tip, and looked at me with a certain scowl of confusion and furrowed brow.
Careful who you throw a royal coin at around here, Gov.
This is true. Be wary of the footprint your almighty presence will have, sire.
Sire, he's just a man, you dolt.
Ms. Renault, lead the way. I chose this time to bring up the rear as our group approached the main square outside the cleaners. Boris resumed his faithful duties as bodyguard with Levi at his side.
What the? It's like a mirrored version of the promenade. Like a fake Grand Citadel. A simple sketch of our fair city on clean white paper.
Some say this place was the blueprint. You Fenalians say true Fenalia all the time, claiming of some dream one nation paradise. But you want true Fenalia? You got it right here. But don't be expecting to find a job here with the local army. There ain't none. No guard, no navy, no generals.
She glanced back at me with an expected squint.
The people who built this place had a much more grand design, I sense.
Right you are, Moonboy. A design that shan't be tainted by the heirs of your grandfathered royalty and your forced democracy. There ain't no miss of that down here.
Anarchy.
Take a closer look. Does this look like anarchy to you?
I looked around the main square. It was like a farmer's, planter's, rancher's, crafter's dream. The overall morale down here was a stark contrast to the everyday life seen in the desert cities above. No anger, no dirt, no shouts, no haggling and arguments between customer and merchant, no homeless beggars lining the side streets. Without a single glance, Ms. Renault took a full bottle off a merchant's cart to our right and tossed it over her shoulder, careful not to hit her own bottle still tethered to her suit. I barely caught it as it hit the chest plate of my new vest. My freshly appointed bodyguard flinched and nearly swatted it to the ground in defense before I stopped him. But darkened glass this thick and sturdy would never shatter. That much I knew. But it did hurt.
There's your weaver's mead, my lord.
Unbelievable.
I bet your decades of historical search ain't tell you that was the original mazer.
No.
That shit you drink up top? Fake.
No.
A cheap knockoff.
You cannot be serious.
Go on, have a sip.
Oh, what?
Needless to say, I ran back to the mazer and shook her hand in reverence. I offered to pay her, but she shook her head in polite refusal, smiled, and handed me another.
Please, sire, we must stay covert here. This place is not yet ready to accept your illumination.
The hell?
An underground city thriving in this hidden haven, and yet none of you will accept payment for your goods and services?
You'll lower. Place like this doesn't need your threaded paper or plated copper discs to get what you need. After all, what is your monies but a simple representation of an idea? The idea that there's actually some bit of value behind that junk. Well, down here, we've got the same idea. But we don't need to toss coin back and fro. I already paid for our entrance, discretion, and clothes, mates. Consider it a welcoming gift. Or a favor, what have you. I still got plenty left over to my name.
She tapped the silver and black canister from behind her cloak. She's got something highly desirable in that metal cylinder that is just what this elaborate network of trades and favors needs.
I dedicated most of my waking hours to uncovering the truths behind Mondrea after much of it is lost to the Great Fade. And nothing, not a thing told me of this hidden pirate utopia.
You're really gonna have to find a better word.
Utopia? What better word to describe this ideal microcosm?
No, that other word. Just call them business people or something. Don't piss them all off with such offense. Oh, here we are, just up these steps, lads.
It was like being back home for a moment, save for one thing. For how sophisticated and lively the city was, the entire place lacked one crucial element. Color. The steps up to what would be the gate and bridge to the Grand Finalia Tower looked the very same, but awash, clean, almost bland. The entire thing was a pale, scrubbed gray. And instead of a clock tower lighthouse atop a grand pearly palace, there was a simple wooden shack. It was the only speck of natural architectural color amongst the monotoned brick that surrounded it.
Where's the palace?
It's much bigger on the inside. Now, watch what you say in here. V's not so good with, visitors.
We shall remain in disguise, Miss Renault.
None of that. None.
She knocked swiftly and signaled a zip your lips gesture to our detached crew. I started to wonder who this V was. Perhaps it had to do with the very same V word she greeted us with when we entered this underground metropolis. Voltura, I believe it was? Yes, Voltura. The name echoes as a shadow behind my mind. The old wood and iron door before us had a smaller door to the right, presumably for passing speak and mail.
Damn.
Hazel, your bag, that's not the right knock.
You know what? I hurt my hand taking down Confine and reclaiming the quail feather. You pieces of rotten.
Welcome home, Haze.
The bounty hunter was the first to enter the shack and greeted everyone she knew with a warmth I'd never seen from her before. If the quail feather was her childhood and family, this rundown shack, a pub in the middle of a secluded iconoclastic paradise, was where she truly made her adult home and formed a family of her own.
Ballo, you crumb crack! Where's that front run you owe me?
These people loved her, or what parts of her she shared with them they loved. It was hard to fully discover who this woman was, but does the cheer and glee signify? Any person would be glad to have just a portion of the true Miss Hazel Renault.
Can we please finish your business here?
Yeah, don't stape your cheeks, Dawn. We're going.
I like these people.
You would.
Miss Renault finished greeting the rowdy group of drunkards and moved towards the bar on the back wall. The rest of us kept our pockets close.
Oi, welcome in. Go on, Ainsley. Have a seat, friends. What can I get you?
Ainsley.
Oh, shit. The hell are you doing back here, mate?
Hey,
Ainsley.
Hush, I'm working, man. You know it's...
Yes.
When I'm working.
Now, are we slamming some ale or what?
The short girl behind the bar was pouring ales and tossing them left and right. It was an endless festival down here. Ms. Renault's return triggered a round or two on the house. Ainsley, as she was called by our own, or guess, as the working version of her insisted, was about 4 foot tall and had a round, grotesque appearance, like a being of old fantasy. Not the fun kind with cheery kids and cherubs flying about, but the dark kind with trolls and deals with demons. Her tangled globule of hair was only outmatched by her beard. Her voice was obviously a younger, mid-20s female, not the gritty gravel she spat at her patrons.
Well, now, what'll it be?
Nah, no drink. I need a CV.
Ha! I bet we all could use a little V these days. Am I right, boys?
You know what I mean.
She passed my own coin back to her.
What the hell?
I didn't even feel her release it from my belt.
More sleight of hand, I see.
She simply put her hand on my chest in silent restraint. She knew what she was doing. As reluctant as I would be seeing the last of my historian wages help fund this illicit empire, I had no choice but to comply.
V, now.
Hayes, you tear my heart up like paper, throw me to the wind, and don't bother piecing from my shreds every time you step in here, you know it?
Don't I know it.
All right, you may have passage, but just you, not your pals here.
Look in the bag.
What the? Are you There must be like 2,000 royal in here.
I know what you like.
Damn right. Okay, this way.
The short, fat little hairball of a man threw out her last ales and shouted to her co-worker, another short man behind the bar, that she was taking a quick smoke break. We followed her out to a back door just past the kitchen, moving quickly and silently as not to draw any more attention to us than already was. The door led to a narrow hallway she could barely fit through, and to a metal spiral staircase lifting high above the floor to another door atop a landing. Guests typed in a quick code on a panel to the right and threw it open.
Ma? Hayes is here to see you. And she brought friends.
But of course she is. Let them in. And take off that lousy disguise, will you, dear?
I'm working here, lassie. Paying my dues and the like.
Lay off! Good luck, Hayes.
Good luck.
Thank you, hairy, beautiful man.
Presumably, the last we ever saw of this guest character was topped with a wink and a pull of her beard bushel to reveal a quick glimpse at her childlike face beneath. Few strands of youthful blonde locks escaped to drape her face, and she hobbled back down the steps, in character, to get back to serving beers down below. V put down an old book, sipped one more sip from a glass of deeply red wine, and flipped her long, straight, sleek silver blonde hair back behind her shoulder as it draped down to the marble floors beneath her glistening yet scaly, calloused soles.
Sire, may I present to you the fabled queen of Vulture legend?
That's my line, you dolt. I told you to keep quiet. Miss Vultura, we are gracious to be in your graces. We wish to bless your presence with a present, which is to say I've returned with a gift.
A gift?
The Queen of the Pirates, or underworld business people, I suppose, turned out to be a lot taller than legend spake. She arose from her elongated lounge chair, which faced away from us, and out to a panoramic window overlooking her city. It almost looked like actual sunlight or moonlight was beaming through to shape her shoulders and hips. Like most of the untracked citizens below, she too was quite scantily clad. A long black and gold thin line of gem and garner was all she wore, cleverly draped about her scarred and muscular sun-drenched frame, sweetly contouring her curved, jagged edges in all the right places. But pieces of armor and leather were strewn about her chair and bedside, as if to suggest a night of promiscuity preceded this meeting. Her mere stance suggested she had seen her fair share of battle, undocumented dogfights, and clashes amongst the dusty skies, if the scar across her chest and abdomen wasn't clue enough.
Dear Lord,
she's magnificent.
We are before the Queen of Vultura herself. An honor most pure.
I bow, and the two men behind me soon follow suit.
You do me a great reverence, General Lennox of Fenalia, to dare deliver yourself and your compatriots alongside my most adroit pilot and hunter in lieu of proper welcome or due invitation. You bear gifts.
Please, pardon our misstep. I'm sure this will more than make up for our ignorance, dear Lady of the Northern Skies.
Insolence.
Yeah, that.
You are so bold, my girl. I'll give you that much.
You've already given
so much.
Boys, keep it in your shorts.
Renald took a few long, reverent strides toward her queen and gently handed the black canister with a slight bow of her head and upper torso, then quickly returned to our makeshift defensive formation.
If I may ask, what is it?
You'll see.
Lady Voltura merely tinked the metallic side of the can with her regal fingernails, gave it a long, silent, eyes-shut inhale, then paused, before suddenly staring from the corners of those bright, purpley eyes beneath the crinkled blonde brow. Her sight seemed to hit all of ours at once.
The cremated remains of Vinkar Steel.
How dare you, Renald, you pirate scum. You... Oop, sorry. I mean, how dare you, you unmarked pilot slash bounty hunter scum.
To think you perceive us in that way brings me much pain.
Oh, shit. Sorry. Many apologies, dear Queen of the Sky. How dare I speak?
Yes. Speech is a gift left to those worthy to speak.
A simple wink and finger pressed against her lips, and the man was silent and frozen in place.
Is that really? How did you procure such a thing?
My dearest Hazel, of course. She was the one who set flame to his corpse. Lovely work, as always. I was about to ask if you could fetch me this pretty little thing.
Instantly, I envisioned my last meeting in secret with the king. The words he spoke. He saw in Castile appear before his tired eyes. This man, driven to the brink of sanities, was trembling in fear. Overexposure to the pure Zrok veins at the Fenalia Stalen border, and keeling over in exhaustion, as if he was escaping some pursuit. His last few words echoing through the royal chambers before vanishing in a bolt of lightning and smoke. The dreamer cometh. He will end war. He will end. Those final words, his final moments, that true death, only the King of Fenalia and I know of. Could that have been the handiwork of our skilled bounty hunter? Tracking him to the inner halls of our own palace and striking him down from shadow?
Should make a valuable trophy for your collection, Lady Voltura.
Your old general had a high price tag on his head, you know.
But how did you?
I could not finish. I was completely lost in a haze of confusion, left to conclude if Encastile did return to the king in some flabbergasted, mystified, deranged version. It was in his halls that this most adroit bounty hunter finally caught up to him and removed him from the equation. But yes, again and again, the questions within rage on. The most obvious being how the general survived these deadly hazards of harmful, radioactive mind rock and successfully returned to the king. Was he being chased by Renald? After the rest of his battalion diminished, perished from Lunaeanite exposure, it is possible he was vulnerable, mad, and alone to wander the wilderness. Renald wanted his death to be witnessed by the leader of all Fenalia. I must surmount this mountain of inquiry soon. But for now, we are audience to the Queen of this hidden haven, And the queen simply stared on, no movement besides her steady breath fogged against the metal sides of that sacred, metallic casket.
Take another whiff, m'lady, if you please.
And that she did, eyes slowly rolling to white in simple ecstasy.
You didn't.
I did.
Finally had the gall to uproot that old fool, did you?
It was his time.
Convene?
I had the girls gather a few of his parts for the mix.
Queen Voltura took another deep and slow toke of this menacing concoction, as if she was exposed to the breath of the gods.
This... is very special indeed. And what is your ask, Hazel of the Wind?
Listen, V. We need safe passage to Deadark.
To below Deadark, Your Majesty.
She drummed her sharp nails against the canister and placed it on her chase. I must have overheard Baris wondering something along the lines of, what that bombshell would want with a couple of dead men's remains before I silenced him.
We are all but pillars of dust on our ruined world. We are gracious to breathe, to mutter our peace into the dark, exchange bouts of laughter, spells of sickness, simple moments of love and recovery. Ultimately, should our luck ring true, we are blessed to return, to be dust once more. The cycle of dust runs and rolls, ever repeating, ever evolving, my dears. And now that you've endowed me with this uncommon, yet sacriferous concoction of dust, I've no choice but to deliver what you ask. I will present this gift to our people, and it will bring great unity. It is a signal, a war horn blaring into night. They will gather and venerate a brighter future, knowing too once dominant forces have been released from this realm, left to drift amongst the chaos, kingless, queenless, and free.
And free they shall be.
They will choose to remain here, in my sanctuary, until all the upper crust of Modrea is blown away, until all returns to dust. The eternal, chaotic dust. Finalio will fall. Stalon will fall. No nation shall claim the holy remnant. You, silenced one. And, yes, even you, General, if you're lucky, should your descendants carry this blessing, you all shall join me in the dust. Voltura is, was, and shall ever be.
So, we have a deal?
I know what you seek. I've seen it. But you know how my city, my people work. We do not covet the riches your royalty above declares valuable. The real value in life is to love, to be loved, to have love. Make love. Above all, give love. Alas, if you must know. The treasure is real, my darling Hazel. But it is not the treasure you truly seek. And you know that.
You don't know what I want, ma'am.
Passage below the Trench of Dead Ark is quite rough. Only one ship can brave its piercing sun, merciless wind and water. And yes, the swirl of eternal dust. You may use my ship, the Viorave, sterling prowler of the upper skies, the dust damsel herself, my precious Vault Raven. I can only hope you someday find what you seek. But know this, only pain remains there. My daughter will show you to the dock. Leave at once. And General.
Yes, Queen Voltura.
You shall have it. It will be yours.
Right.
You're listening to Mondrea Memories.
Nexdeus, The Search for the Ocean Shard is a science fiction adventure graphic novel over 1,200 pages in the making.
And you want me to get all chummy with some weird mechanoid you found?
Follow a band of treasure hunters as they seek an object of monumental power, the fabled Ocean Shard. Though many consider the shard itself to be a tall tale, there certainly are a lot of forces trying to keep our heroes from finding it.
Just talk to him and you'll see.
Over 40 chapters are free to read online, with weekly updates since 2006. The journey continues at nexteus.com. NEXTUUS.com.
This is Mondrea Memories.
Before we knew it, we were following that short, fat little man, Guess, down the same spiral stair, all of us trying to sober up from that otherworldly haze simply being near the Queen had put us in. We passed the hall to the bar and continued further downward for what seemed to be hundreds of meters.
Ah, that's all right. I've got a bit of an errand down here anyways. Oh, looky here. There she be. Dear old Viorave herself.
Not a single chip in the paint.
Wee lass.
Well, I'll
have you for dinner! Oh, who've we got here? Come on out to there, little lady.
A young 6 or 7 year old dark red and purple haired girl giggled from behind the back fin of this enormous steamship.
What? But aren't we always? Now hurry back up to the pub and hide again.
I know how to win this time. I practice.
You take good care of Mom's ship, or I'm paying for it, Hayes.
I won't hide in Mommy's room again. Not since last time.
What?
She's always busy in there, doing paperwork all day. I don't know.
What?
Oh! Can we play in the kitchen too? The bar! No! I snuck it at the tables once when the fighter people get sleepy. I found a pretzel under there.
I'll find you quicker this time, I swear it.
The girl had some sort of metallic plate on the left front quarter of her skull, the kind I assume remained to cover some sort of deformity, or perhaps it was a recovery panel to assist after a drastic, life-threatening surgery. It had been colored over with carnations and roses, finger-painted with suns, stars, and smiles. Either way, she wore it well, like a princess's crown. Her giggle would soon fade away and followed the man whose own boisterous pirate laugh echoed into the night and back up the spiral stair.
This whole place is like a myth. I never thought I'd dream of seeing such wonder in such a ship. And such a woman.
Lieutenant Thatch.
Hey, look who's got his squeaker back. Damn it. And by the way, you didn't see shit, you hear? As far as the three of you are concerned, Voltura does not exist.
Oh, but Miss Voltura does.
And she damn fine.
Gentlemen, Please, as far as Finalian and Mondrean history is written, such a place should remain in myth. I'm sure you understand. Board the ship.
The Volt Raven, etched on a bronze plate upon the stern, Vilrave, as the Queen and her attendants call, was her personal ship, and it was also to remain deep within Mondrean myth. A ship of such grandiose wonder and immaculate construction would make any royal destroyer or freighter cower at over 1,000 knots, like a purple, blazing griffin against the horizon. Our own king's personal destroyer would flutter away once the boisterous engines of this massive machine roared to life. To say it was too bulky, or to compare its bow stance to a withered condor, would be sacrilege. To say it was too slim around the waist like an hourglass and too messy on top like a tumbleweed would bring its own thunderous arsenal down from the heavens, smiting all doubters. This ship was something of a divine goddess, much like Violetta Vultura herself. To enter its helm and absorb the aura of the bridge was making me into a new man. Such a ship should never exist. As far as I know, it's never been sighted and recorded before. Perhaps those who thought they saw the Raven believed it to be nothing but a mirage. Typical side effects of a hot desert air mixing with pressurized sea breeze. Perhaps the Raven's incredible flight ceiling and top speed make it impossible to spot, even for the most eagle-eyed of sailor atop their crow's nest. Perhaps such a ship isn't even attractive at all. Perhaps it's a piece of flightless chicken scrap. Perhaps, like the myths surrounding it, most refuse to believe it even exists and will create an allegory or metaphor of their own to sprinkle into the blending, swirling rage of history. After all, its proper captain, the Pirate Queen, a goddess herself gleaming in the moonlight, should not exist. Like Dead Ark, should not exist. Like this dark nightmare within me, should not exist. But I'm here to tell you now, it does. And the most adroit pilot and hunter of all Vultura claims it's the only vessel capable of reaching below that dreadful, tiresome sea. And here we are, flying it now. The very same ship to the very same destination. Its helmsman driven by the very same shadow of a dream.
Mondrea Memories, the Dreamer's Echo podcast. Keep listening for a special message from the creator of the show, as well as a bonus memory. For a full cast and crew list, please visit dreamersecho.com/podcast.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for listening to Mondrea Memories and for enduring as long as you did until we came back from our break. I want to send out a personal thank you to everyone who supported me on Patreon thus far. Kristen, Chandra, Shiloh, Dean, Andy, Dexter, Siggy, Tom, Drayton, Deb, Germ, Jamie, and Brittany. All of you are amazing. Thank you not only for believing in the dream, but making it a reality. In addition to the early access to new episodes, comics, music, videos, sketches, and more, any patron who pledges support of $5 or more a month will be sent the very first Mondrea Memories merch ever. The Mondrea Memories holographic sticker. This high-quality piece of adhesive art is just begging to be stuck to every and any surface you have in your house, at your school, and pretty much any surface that needs a little extra shine. The official design just dropped on my Instagram, @JetFalco. Check it out. Join the Patreon and get yours. Only 100 are made, so they're gonna go fast. The offer is only open for about 2 months, and I hope to see you there. Since you stuck it out to the end, here's your bonus scene. I love you all. See you next time.
You believe it, Boris?
I believe Lieutenant Thatch. Do you not?
Come on, man. I mean, I always did, sure. Baltura, the pirates, the lost city. That gorgeous
woman. Benevolent champion. The soul of man lives within him, and still he drives toward the dark. He will find the light within and usher in illumination for us all.
What's gotten into you, man?
Into me?
Yeah, seriously. What did that guy do to you with that rock stick thing?
Ah, the key. He unlocked me.
Unlocked you? I know you, Boris. And this ain't you.
I am Lieutenant Boris Sanzi. Flick. Of the Fenalian Royal Guard. Or Boris. Boris. And you are Lieutenant Victor Levinson, Thatch, of the Fenalian Royal Guard. Levi. I am your friend, Levi. Barris. Friends. I am waking, my friend. He gave me the dream, Levi. The dream. And soon all shall be awake. All shall dream.
What the hell are you into?
Copyright 2020. DreamersEcho.com.
Creative Commons Attribution License, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives.